Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm the Gnarly Gnome. Happy Cinco de Mayo, one of those great holidays that we celebrate here in the United States more than the country that it comes from. It's a drinking holiday. It's an excuse to drink something that you wouldn't normally drink, which is I'm all about it on this show. If you're new to things here, we drink. This is a happy hour. It's a virtual happy hour. It's an excuse for us to hang out together, have a drink together, pretend that we're sitting across the bar from each other. It's not a show, though, so when the camera is crooked like this, it's okay. There's no rules, so I can't mess anything up, supposedly. If we can fix it. That might have made things worse. No, that's fine. That's fine. Everything's fine. Welcome to the show. It is a live show, so if you're listening to this after the fact, join us any Monday night, sometime around 9:30-ish, because sometimes things get a little hectic around the house here, and we don't always start on time. Again, not a show, though. There's no rules. We can do these things. The schnappening. I went back and forth on this one. It is Cinco de Mayo, and I wanted to find everything tonight that I'm going to put into my mouth is going to be themed to Cinco de Mayo somehow. Somehow. Kind of. Not really. Not really. It's bad. I had a really wonderfully terrible bottle of Jose Cuervo in my hand, and I was going to do that for the schnappening, and then I was walking back to the studio and saw this one sitting there, and I thought, you know, I'm already going to be putting myself through enough pain in this episode with these drinks. I want something that I know tastes good. And we tried this not that long ago on the show, but it was so delicious that I figured I'd go back to it. This is that Nixta. This is a liqueur de elote. It's corn booze. Like what I think I called it, Mexican moonshine, I believe. And you can see how much I drank. And that was probably all on that episode. So it was good. Julia wants to know if I asked De Ivid to make a Cinco de Mayo cocktail. I did not. I went a whole different route, and we'll talk about what I did this time, which might be worse. Might be. We will see as the show progresses. This is not going to be a shocker because, like I said, we did try this on the show not that long ago, and it was tasty. I always feel like it should be here, and it shouldn't. It should be here. I don't know. It should be. There we go. That's better. Nixta, liqueur de elote. It's good. Mexican moonshine. Just tastes like a corn booze with like a little bit extra corn to it. I think when I originally saw this in the store, I was expecting it to. That's going to be right in front of the camera. I don't know where to put anything. I don't know what I'm doing. I expected it to be, I don't know, maybe kind of thicker and like creamier or something. I don't know, like creamed corn juice. I don't know. I don't know what I was expecting, but this was not what I was expecting originally. I'm glad because this is actually delicious. Let's see. Eric says he's drinking a michelada with momos and municipal borracho. That's a good night. Josh, not drinking a theme, having Westside's Lorien Lager. That's a great beer, though. I do have that one chilling in the fridge. I keep meaning to drink it on the show one of these nights. Got a couple truths going on. And Julia with the Westside Tippa. That's a big one. All right. Cheers, everybody. Here's to Cinco de Mayo, I guess. The topics for this show, I had it all figured out, and kind of last minute had a couple things pop up that that changed everything that I was going to talk about. So this will be a fun one. It is full-bodied. Oh, I forgot how good it was. I mean, I knew it was good, but yeah. I don't know that I would. When I say Mexican moonshine, I mean like it's like like moonshine from like one of those moonshine distilleries in downtown Gatlinburg where there's a lot of sugar. Because there's a lot of sugar in this, but still not, it's not flavored with like apple pie or some kind of Starburst candy or any of the stuff that they flavor those moonshines with. It's just straight up corn. It's just corn booze. It's delicious. This would be really, really good, like with a bunch of like tacos or something like that, where you've got the corn tortilla and yeah, it's really good. This, I feel like this should always be behind my bar. It's a really unique product, and I feel like I need to start finding out some cocktails that I can make with it. I wonder if David could figure that out. I bet he could. But if I did task him with it, it would probably be very strange. Josh says that Lorien hops are fascinating. Loves this hop now. I don't know much about Lorien hops. I think, as far as I know off the top of my head, that's the only beer that I've had that has Lorien hops in it. let me see if I can figure that out with just a quick search here. Lorien. Let's see. It's thinking. I don't think so. Nothing's popping up immediately. Esoteric was giving out beer shots at the Pig yesterday. Perfect. Josh says it's a proprietary hop from the Indie Hops breeding program. A lot of the kind of fun, trendy hops are those proprietary things that you don't get anywhere else. Now, I'm not seeing anything in my notes about it, so I don't think there's any other beers that I can think of that I can think of or my notes can think of that have it in it. I'm sure somebody else has done it. I love this stuff. All right. That will be the best thing that I drink tonight, I anticipate. I do have an emergency backup beer, should the need arise, and that is the Mexi Lime Lager, Graf Lime from High Green. If things go completely off the deep end, and I need to adjust, which is possible. Josh says it's very floral, makes a good lager. Autocorrect, change it to lotion hops. You do not want those websites. It depends on the night. One thing that I've been drinking a few times lately that I found really interesting, not a hop, but the Fonio beers. I wrote an article about it. I don't know if we talked about it on here or not. Were you part of the Local Hops funding project they did in Monroe a few years ago? No. I don't know anything about it. The Fonio is a grain. It's like from my understanding, it's kind of like a couscous looking grain, like a real tiny little grain. They use it a lot like rice, and it has a lot of the same characteristics that rice gives to beer. From what I can tell from tasting both Mad Trees and Rheingeist's Fonio lagers, it's like this really great like peachy white wine thing that it gives to the beer. It's amazing. I would love to try a beer that is made with nothing but Fonio, because I think it's an interesting grain. I don't think anybody around here is doing one 100%, but they have had some kind of around the country that have been. So I'm on a weird kick. I guess because they're available, but I like trying things like that. You can identify exactly which ingredient is putting off this flavor that you're tasting. Sometimes there's hops that I get confused about because I think I know what they taste like, and then I try a beer that supposedly has almost all of that hop, and I'm getting something completely different, and it's because some other little ingredient is pushing it somewhere else, and I can't really pinpoint that, and it gets very difficult, which it's not a bad thing. It's still fun, but I really like being able to pick out individual things and then figure out how they play off each other. That's fun for me. Okay. Cinco de Mayo, we talked about Cinco de Mayo. Cinco de Mayo, we know that's not Mexican Independence Day, right? We let's get that just off the top here. It is to celebrate the victory of the Battle of Puebla, I think. Is that right? I guess I should, yeah. Battle of Puebla on Cinco de Mayo, 1862. So not Mexican Independence Day. That is a completely separate holiday. Quit saying that, everybody. but yeah, it is celebrated in Mexico, but not in the same way we celebrate it here. It is a cool holiday. I don't know what war that was. Somebody can help me. They were battling the French, and the French army was this massive, well-funded, big army. The Mexican army was not, and they won this battle, and it kind of. It was a big celebration for him, and I like that feeling. I like that the idea of the underdog winning, and I can get behind that. All right. We should open a drink before we move on into the topics of the night. I'm really not looking forward to this. I have four different things. All right, I'll start with what I think is going to be the best to the worst. We have, I was going to make a margarita or make a couple margaritas, and I thought that was too good, for lack of a better way of putting it. I don't think you guys always like seeing me make things that taste good. I think that this is more enjoyable for you. We have Cutwater's lime margarita, not just a margarita, lime margarita. I don't know if that means they give it extra lime. I don't know. We'll read it when we open it. That's number one, lime margarita. I've had the Cutwater canned cocktails before, and they're pretty good. Okay, this chill or drink on ice. Okay, we're good. I do not have ice, but it is chilled. I also don't know this 12-ounce can. It's 12.5% ABV. If you're packaging a canned cocktail at 12%, why are you putting it in giant cans? For 12, I guess it's not a giant can, but for 12% it is. It should be a little can, a tiny can. Tiny cans. Okay, that's probably going to taste the best. up next, I've never had any of this brand before, but it looks like a proper canned cocktail. But again, just a huge can for what it is. This is 10% ABV. Why is it in a big can? Okay, this is Club Tales. A sunny margarita. I don't know what makes it sunny, but okay. Sunny margarita. Okay, that's number two. That's my anticipation is that's going to be the second best tasting one. I'm already dreading this decision. All right. I'm ashamed at how I'm placing these last two, but we have this massive can Rita's. So this is Bud Limerita, I believe, right? Did they rebrand this Rita's? Are they just Rita's now? Rita's Limerita. This is Bud Light Limerita, right? I don't even know anymore. Oh yeah, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri. I didn't know that the branding changed to just Rita's. This seems deceptive. It's Limerita. It's Bud Light Limerita, right? Or was it Bud? I don't remember now. Now I'm confused. It's a big can. It's only 8%, though. It's a big-ass 8% can. Whatever. And then this is probably going to be the worst thing that I drink tonight. Although, maybe I'll be surprised. We went with a Seagram's. Oh, yeah. I was surprised to see that Seagram's Escapes makes a classic lime margarita. Classic. I'm looking at this color. There is nothing classic or real about this beverage. Okay. All right. Do you guys, how do we do this? Do we start with the worst and work our way to the best, or do we just pick randomly? You guys tell me, because I'm already feeling a certain way about what's about to happen. And why you, why somebody just yells at me which one to try. We'll talk about the margarita. The margarita is a great cocktail in its normal form, in its real form. Let's see. 1990s. Worst to best. All right. We will do worst to best. Anticipated worst to anticipated best. Let's see. Eric says it should be in a small container like those Slamsies. I saw that out, those out yesterday at Noonan's. Don't get them. My experience so far is just do not buy them. All right. Seagram's first. All right. Here we go. Northeast Ohio Craft Brewery News says, how about we just drain pour all of them? Where is the fun in that? Somebody has to do this. This is for the betterment of humanity. I did pick a good glass. I picked a fun glass. No ice, though. I picked a good good tiki guy. I thought he would be fun for, you can't even see it on the camera, for the margarita-ing. I'm probably not going to pour all of these. I'm gonna do tastes of each of them, and then maybe I'll go back to the ones that taste the best. Oh, God. I walked in the house with these today, and I told my wife, I said, I picked up some stuff for the show tonight to celebrate Cinco de Mayo. And she's like, you got stuff for margaritas. I said, no, I got packaged not even margaritas. And yeah, she was disappointed in me, too. So it's not just you guys. I live to disappoint. All right. Up first. Seagram's Escapes. I probably should have just drank this out of the bottle. It is kind of a weird seafoamy green. It smells like it smells like fake. It is made with natural flavors. It does not say it's made with natural aromas. It's a malt beverage with natural flavors added, contains all kinds of dyes, 3.2% ABV. It's not even going to get you drunk. There's nothing redeeming about this. Maybe it tastes great. All right, let's, man, class. This is nothing. Every person who originated the margarita, and there's many that claim to have originated it, is going to roll over in their grave here. This is not a classic margarita. It tastes like sugar. There's not even any lime. Okay. There's like some like Kool-Aid lime comes in, but like sweet lime. I'm not going to say it's bad, because it does. It just tastes like a slightly carbonated Kool-Aid. But not even like full-on Kool-Aid flavor. It's like not even a Kool-Aid with booze in it would taste better than this. But it's drinkable. If I'm ashamed to say, but if you pour it over an ice, I could drink it and be just fine. There's nothing offensive about it. It's not gross. But it's just boring. Like it's almost like a flavored water. But when I want a margarita, I need some kind of balance to it. I need tartness to play off the sweetness, and I don't get any of that from this. It's just all like sugar. Do people like buy these? Is this like a thing? Like are people sitting around by the pool and like, yo man, have you tried these Seagram's Escapes? Man, these things are so good. I feel like I'm escaping to the tropics when I drink this. I don't think so. I feel like they made one batch of them and they're just all out there on shelves, and people buy them for their friends just to mess with them, and then when they're gone, they're gone. That's not good. I shouldn't say it's not good. It's just nothing. It exists in this weird nothingness. At least it goes down fast in its nothingness. All right. It's really sweet. Let's start. I had artwork for Cinco de Mayo. Hey, it's always Marg season, but especially today. Zach says it's common how to delay on his end. Why post? It always has a delay. You won't see it until a little bit after you post it. He's having a paint me like one of your French bread pizzas from Hoofhearted. The can art is fantastic. Hoofhearted does great can art. That bottle art was terrible. This can art, also terrible. At least it has pictures of limes, so I'm anticipating that this one will have some kind of lime flavor to it, right? Anheuser-Busch wouldn't let me down, right? I have had this at some point in my life, Limerita. All right, we're going to pour a healthy pour this one because I feel like it's probably going to be okay if you like that sort of thing. The fizzy head just goes away completely in like 2 seconds. Oh, man. And it smells. God, it smells. Oh, I don't even want to tell you what it smells like, but I will. It smells like the bathroom of a bar on Cinco de Mayo, like at the end of Cinco de Mayo. Like if you're at a bar where there's a bunch of people, they're like, "Hey, we're gonna celebrate Cinco de Mayo," and they go too hard, and this smells like what happens afterwards. It's not good. So while I fight my way through this, we will switch topics and we'll talk about the World Beer Cup, because that is proper beer. That's the stuff that I should be drinking on this show, not Limerita. Oh God, I'm gonna get into it. It's like somebody put fake limes in my beer. It's better than the Seagram's. There's just a touch of tartness, but not really. It's sweet. It's like a mixture of a bad margarita and beer. Not a good margarita, like a really, you go to like a really bad Mexican restaurant and they bring you this big sugary margarita. If you took that and you mixed it with Bud Light, that's what it would taste like. Zach wants to know if I've had the beer Pringles yet. No, not yet. As soon as I get to the grocery store, it's on my list. But no, I have not had them yet. World Beer Cup. It was a big year for Cincinnati. Ohio did great. I didn't write it down. Ohio brought home, 11 medals, I think? Let's see. World Beer Cup. Yeah, 11 medals from Ohio, with 5 of them from Cincinnati, which is great for Cincinnati. And then an additional 3, if you say Fatheads. Fatheads had 3 more medals. So 8 of the 11 medals came from Cincinnati and Fatheads. Northeast Ohio Craft Breweries News says 8 medals. I don't know. I've got 11 written down. Zach says Third Eye in there again. Yeah, I'll talk about all of them here. Let's start. We'll start with Third Eye. Third Eye brought home a gold for their Scotch Ale, Higher Consciousness. 8 plus Fatheads. It's funny when you see breweries, and Fatheads is one of them. Third Eye is clearly becoming one of them too, or is one of them, not even becoming, is at this point. These breweries that just win medals, they have got it dialed in perfectly. And this is just another great example of that. Great beer, not to take anything away from the beer. They are great at winning medals. Wandering Monsters was a great one to see them bring home another medal for their triple chocolate Viator Obscura, which just won a medal. What was it? Yeah, 2024 GABF. Huge for them to bring home medals from both of those competitions for that beer. I feel like you should get some kind of a medal, an additional medal, if you medal at both of them in the same, I guess it's technically not the same year, but I'm just so happy to see people win medals. Zach says, Kelly is a badass and knows the shit. Yes, he does. Let's go on to Fretboard. I was really, really happy to see Fretboard bring home a bronze medal for Crazy Train. Crazy Train is their most award-winning beer, but I don't know if this is them not entering as much or what it is, but it kind of slowed down for a little bit there. And as it started picking back up and winning medals again, it's winning huge medals. Again, GABF and then now World Beer Cup. It's huge for them. Since like 2020, it's kind of started snowballing again, and that beer is returning to the medal stand. They don't have medal stands, but you get the point. It's meddling, it's winning. Great beer, especially. It's been around forever. I believe I'm gonna say the end of 2017, 2018, 2020, I don't know. It's probably in my notes. Let's look. Let's see. No, it's not. I'm going to say the end of 2017. 2017 was when it was released, and it is still winning medals today, and that's fun to see. That's a long time for a beer to stick around, and not just to keep being made by a brewery, for them to kind of keep giving it the attention it deserves, but for it to keep meddling and keep winning and still be put up on that that pedestal, I guess. Brink is the next brewery that won from Cincinnati. Two medals from them, which, again, you want to talk about breweries that just know how to win medals. This is, I believe, their 50th and 51st medals is what they posted. I should have looked that number up and made sure they weren't missing any, because I feel like it's a lot of medals from Brink. And Muzi is still the most award-winning beer in the city. I mean, I know that it is, but let's see how much, because that's a fun project I'm working on you guys can't know about yet. We won't pull that up. Let's see. Oh yeah. By far the most award winning, and I can't refresh the table to update it, but it had 14 medals, and I think that's before this one drops in there. Has Urban Artifact won anything? Yes. Urban Artifact has won 33 different medals in different competitions. I don't know if this is going to let me sort by brewery here. Oh, I have to hit this. Hang on. We'll get it here. I'll figure this thing out. Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Nothing at like... They usually win at different types of competitions. So U.S. Open, they've won some. The Good Food Awards, Brussels Beer Challenge. There was a China International Beer Competition, Tasting Alliance World Beer Competition, U.S. Open, Alltech, back when people were entering Alltech. I don't think the Alltech Commonwealth Cup still exists, but they won at that a few times. King of Ohio, World Expo of Beer, but never at GABF or World Beer Cup, if that's the question. Zach says, no secrets. We need to know about this fun project. I know there are so many little there are so many big projects that are in the works that, we can't talk about yet. I had a conversation, even this, I shouldn't say, I had a conversation with my wife this week about a new company that we might be starting. And I'm going to try to bring her into it to help her, to have her help run the thing, since I just can't do all of the stuff that I want to. And that that does relate to this stuff that I do too. So there's lots of projects, lots of very big projects that, that are always in the works, always. Some of them end up kind of fizzling out. Some of them crash and burn, and some of them come to fruition. For instance, for anybody who is a newsletter subscriber or a Nomi, we made a big switch last week, where mid last week on the first is when I went live with it, with shifting the newsletter over to Substack and relaunching Drinking with the Gnome. That is now not just a podcast. It is the newsletter itself is Drinking with the Gnome, and the podcast is part of it. So, like, the next issue, I guess, of Drinking with the Gnome that you see will have an accompanying podcast with it. And that's been a big thing that I've been trying to figure out, and figuring out a way to bring the two together and how to make it work. And how to even more difficult is how to make it work and make it so that people weren't having to subscribe to 19 different things. Like, if you want to support what I do, I always appreciate that. And everybody who supports on Patreon, I appreciate it more than you know. And trying to find ways for those paid subscribers to connect to all of the paid subscriptions that will and do exist throughout the stuff that I do. Which, I guess we can talk about that a minute. Patreon, for me, will always be kind of the top tier of everything. The Nomies will have access to all of the stuff. Whatever those paid things that I make are, which I don't know in the future what'll exist. There won't be many right now, but any paid subscriptions, the Nomies get that. Trying to logistically figure out how to make that make sense and not be just a ton of extra work for me, trying to keep all that synced up and everything, was like a weird kind of a process. So I think I've got it figured out. I hope I've got it figured out. And you'll see evolution on all that stuff as we keep going. But the point of World Beer Cup is that I'm proud of everybody. The argument always is, do medals actually matter? I know some places would say they don't matter at all. It doesn't change anything. And then there's some places that are like, no, we not necessarily need the medals to be who we are, but the medals definitely make up a part of who we are. If that is a good way to put it. That's my interpretation of it. Obviously, I am not part of those breweries, so I can't say that for them, but that's how I interpret what they say. I'm gonna try to finish this so I can get to the next one. This stuff is not good. It is better, I assume, than anything that's back here in the bucket of misery, which is still there. I don't know if you can see it on the camera right here where I'm pointing. That's the bucket of misery, and it's still full. I should have just thrown these in there and put them in the mix. Zach says, involving beer. Yeah, we'll say yes. Involving gnome. Moving on. This is not great. I just messed that up. Hang on. I have too many things going on. Okay. Oh, this is a new addition to what I was going to talk about tonight. I was not planning on talking about this, but it popped up on social media or on a website. Rheingeist non-alcoholic beer. I've been hearing both rumors and maybe some insider information about this project from them. Zach says, drink more from the bucket. Not tonight. Eric says, metal seem like good validation that you're on target. Yes. And it also, I can't help but believe that to some level, if a person is like, hey, here's a list of breweries that I haven't been to before. And here, we'll put that back on. Here's a list of breweries I haven't been to before. This one I've never heard of, but it's new and I'd like to try it. And here's this one that I've never been to before. And they've won 14 different medals in the last, 2 years. I can't help believe that they're not leaning towards the one that's winning medals that people are saying is great. That has to factor into people's decisions. But I don't know. That's my take on it. Non-alcoholic. Okay. Let me put this out there. I've had a bunch of non-alcoholic beer over the last few years, and most of it kind of sucks. It just doesn't taste good. Not only does it not taste good, it tastes nothing like actual beer. There's a lot of just mediocre to bad non-alcoholic beer out there. With that being said, there is some that shows a ton of promise of being really close. There are some that it's hard when they are trying to replicate a existing brand because you have an expectation then for what that is supposed to taste like. And if it doesn't hit that perfectly, then you're just kind of disappointed. But if you create a brand that is its own thing, and it is one of those non-alcoholic beers that actually kind of tastes fine, you might have a winner on your hands. And that looks like what they are doing here. Rheingeist, forget Cincy Light in the middle, the lime Cincy Light. We knew that was coming. That's not a shocker at all. But the two on the end, the Ghost Pills and the Ghost Haze, these are their two non-alcoholic beers that they've announced. One, obviously a Pilsner, one, a hazy IPA. I'll say it. I'm kind of freaking excited about this. I think Rheingeist doesn't do things bad. And I that's a big statement. I recognize that. They've done things that maybe I don't always agree with as far as kind of products that they release or whatnot, but I trust everything they put out. I trust that everything that they release is something that they are willing to put their name behind. And at that, I think that these are going to be great. I am actually really, really excited to try these. I will do everything in my power to get them as soon as I can and to try them, probably not on this show. I'll probably do it in a bigger video or something when I do finally get to try them because I'm so excited about them. But I'll probably try them on the show too. Who knows? It's more fun to drink crappy margarita-flavored things. Josh says Athletic is shaking in their boots. Maybe. Maybe. Athletic has a big portfolio of different non-alcoholic brands, and they've got that working for them. And they are a big company at this point. I don't know that they're worried. It should be pretty, well, I don't know. I don't know what Rheingeist's plans for the future for how big their brewery gets or how far they want to grow that brand nationwide. I assume that they have no limits on that, but I don't foresee them growing a non-alcoholic brand nationwide anytime soon. I think like their other brands, it's going to stay pretty local, but I could be wrong. I could be very wrong on that. If non-alcoholic beer is growing the way that some people are saying it's going to or saying it is, there's no reason this couldn't end up being very big, but it's going to be in my house. I can tell you that. Marco says Athletic is big, but not nearly the best tasting non-alcoholic options. Exactly. But they're big. They're big and they're everywhere. And that says something.
and they're on draft.
Mm.
This isn't horrible, but I'm also glad that it's gone. Well, it just makes me wish there was a Mai Tai or something in here instead, or a proper margarita. Okay. Ugh. Let's move on. Drink-wise. Club Tales. Oh, it's everything's so sweet. There's just so much sugar. Okay. Okay. I'm going to read into this one a little bit. It's a cocktail in a can. Okay. Original Club Tales. Sunny Margarita. It says it's a classic lime-flavored party starter. Happy hour at its finest. This is a happy hour. Maybe this is going to fit the theme. Perfect. It's a premium cocktail. I do like my cocktails premium. And it says it contains alcohol. Okay. 16 ounces. That's exactly what you want your margarita to be. This is from Club Tales and Company from Laval, Quebec, Canada. Product of Canada. Flavored ale. Okay. If it's a flavored ale, it is not a canned cocktail. For the record, flavored ales are not cocktails. Zach says, rinse the glass between each new drink. I don't think that we need that. These are not that great that they need rinsing. And if I rinse it, I have to go all the way out to the bar, rinse, and then come back. And that's just wasting too much time. Maybe if I start at some point doing some of the episodes out at the bar, which might be in the works at some point, maybe I'll rinse between then. But Zach says, what's that Rheingeist logo behind you? Is that a sign? Down here, it's a chalkboard from a bar. It says happy hour, and probably the name of the bar still, because I have not erased it, because I think it's fun. If that's what you're looking at down here, there might be other Rheingeist logos somewhere. Yeah, it's a sign. I have all kinds of random things sitting around in the basement. Okay, this one is not a strange green color for the first time. Maybe there's like a, you can see it on there. It's like a light touch of green. I also poured way too much of it because if it's bad, now I have to finish a whole bunch of it. Put that there. All right. That's all I have really about Rheingeist. I really want to hear everybody else's thoughts about non-alcoholic beer. And if you think the segment is actually going to grow, because I know that there are a lot of people saying that it's like this next big thing and it's going to take off and, you know, to the moon. I don't buy it. I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to remain a good part of what people are drinking. But I don't think it's going to be the next seltzer or something. Okay. Say the next seltzer, knowing that seltzer also kind of not tanked, but did not become what people thought it was going to be. The next THC beverages right now. All right, this one smells the best. It still smells like a malty drink, though. It does smell like a fresh cocktail. I want like fresh lime juice and like, you know, something that's bold and bright and smells like real things. This is not smelling real things. All right, let's try it. Way too fizzy. I think that's also part of it. You know, margaritas aren't fizzy. They're not fizzy drinks. And so I don't know why, if you're making a canned cocktail, it has to be fizzy. Okay. It's fine. Julia says, every now and then I do enjoy non-alcoholics, but just none of them are that good. Guinness NA and some of the Untitled Art ones are the best so far. I made a whole video about the best one that I tried, and it's, I hate saying it, but it was the Bud 0.0. I thought it was the best tasting. It tasted most like what they were going for, and okay. Yes. I did like, I think I only had like 2 cans of it. I think I gave the rest away to people, but the Schutz, the Black Butte, I thought that was good when I had it. So there are things out there that are fine. Marco says, I think it's leveled out, but the numbers and the players are going to change. I mean, the percent of the market share. I agree 100%. Athletic right now is dominating the market. And I think that if local players can find a way or find a partner or find some solution to get their product tasting good, every market should have their own local non-alcoholic options. I'll say 3 years ago, I was looking for a non-alcoholic beer and it was non-existent. Now it's all over the place. I agree 100%. I would say within the last 4 to 5 years, I've really seen a massive change to that. Zach mentions the Sam Adams ones. They're good. They did Just the Haze back in 2020. So, I mean, they've been trying to get it off the ground for 5 years at this point, and I assume it's doing fine, but it's clearly not a huge piece of their portfolio compared to other things. So there's still definitely people drinking it, but when are we drinking them? How many of them are we drinking? We're never going to drink them in the same quantity that we drink beer. It's, I don't know, until like there's actually a cultural shift where people want, you know, we talked, or not we, there was a couple articles early this year maybe about this trend in Europe of what they call zebra striping, where the kids go out and they drink one alcoholic drink and then one non-alcoholic and go back and forth between them, which I think is a great idea. And that's kind of what you're supposed to do with water. But that culturally hasn't happened here. Until some of that starts to change, we will never, never see, the market share itself grow. Athletics malt. I don't know. It always just tastes too malty. It tastes like unfinished beer. A lot of them taste like unfinished beer to me, or beer that somebody beat the hell out of, which I guess is how you make a non-alcoholic beer. That's all the topics I got, so we can just keep drinking not margaritas until the end of the show. I think that the margarita itself is one of my favorite cocktails. I was really hoping to get a article written about a new cocktail that I discovered this weekend. We went to a Mexican restaurant. I guess we tend to go to a lot of Mexican restaurants in the last 6 months or so. We keep finding ourselves there. We finished with, we had dance recitals this weekend. Both my kids are in dance, and so we have these big dance recital weekends where all weekend you're just sitting through show after show after show. My niece is in it too, so you know, we get to sit through all of these shows. And on Friday night, after we finished up with all the stuff we had to do, like, all right, I need to go get a drink somewhere, and we need to go have some food. And we Fairfield, I live up here in Fairfield, there's a little local spot right there, and kind of in the center of town, I guess, where our little sports bar called Birds. And I'm like, we got to go to Birds, you know, let's get over to Birds and get a beer and some wings or something to burn my mouth into some kind of sense of emotion again. And we walked over there, and there was like a 45-minute wait or something. I'm like, all right, that's not going to work. We got, you know, kids, and I think there were like 9 or 10 of us. There was a big group. So I'm like, all right, we got to figure something else out. There's a Mexican restaurant right there, which we haven't been to in a long time. And I'm like, all right, let's get Mexican. we went over there, and it was amazing. So good. But after my first margarita, I wanted something different. And I won't spoil it. I will leave it at, it was a cocktail that I'm assuming has always been on the menu. It was probably on the menu at lots of places that I'd never even heard of before. And so I started kind of, I ordered it. I'm like, I need this. And then as I was waiting for it to come, I pulled up my phone. I'm now researching and figuring it out. It was awesome. And I might be obsessed now at this point. And you might be reading something about them here very soon. It was fun. Marco says, after every dance recital, I needed a drink immediately. I didn't mind watching my kid, but the process is exhausting. It's like, and we can, at ours, like, you can get a beer. Like, I can sit there and have a beer, like, while my kids are dancing, which is great. But there is just the process of everything is, it is like, you know, getting the kids up early, hair, you know, my daughter has to have like her hair up in like these little buns and stuff. It all just takes all this time getting all that done, getting the costumes on. It was raining. So now getting the kids, in without ruining makeup and hair and all that stuff with the costumes. And then now, you got to sit there all day, because one kid dances here, one kid dances here. Then this one has to go back and dance again. And through all that time, they have to all just stay together and just stay dance ready. And it's just, there's a lot going on. And then the tickets, oh God, the tickets. You got to get tickets to all the different, different shows. Make sure all of the grandparents are coming to the proper shows. You got to get tickets for this family, for this one, and this family, for this one. And then got to make sure this person gets to sit over here, but can't sit by this person. It's insane. It is insane. And so like afterwards you finish and it's just like, oh, I just need to go somewhere and have a beer. I just need to go sit somewhere, have a beer. I don't need quiet. I don't want to go sit and hide in the basement where it's quiet. I need like something going on that isn't people needing something from me. It's crazy. But it is, I was going to say it's fun. It's not really fun. It's fun watching my kids dance. And I love that, but it's not fun. The whole process is not fun at all. It's my kids enjoy it. I'd much rather go sit on a soccer field in the summer. Zach says, how about the huge event of the Flying Pig this weekend? That sounded like crazy in the rain. Was it 2 years ago where it rained so much that they shut it down and people kept running anyways and everything was flooded and then people got confused and got lost? And yeah, it's great. Great running in the rain. I don't imagine I will ever be doing anything pig related ever again. It's a lot. None of these have satisfied like the margarita urge. They, I guess, like if you're breaking margarita down into a proper margarita and then a mediocre Mexican restaurant margarita, these kind of fall into that mediocre Mexican restaurant margarita category. Marco says dance is a mafia racket. Julia wants to know if I would rather be in the rain or in the scorching heat. Are you talking about just what would I rather be in, or what would I rather run in? Because I don't want to run in either. I can say that right now. But if you're just talking about just what would I rather be in, I'll take the scorching heat just being in. I love the heat. Now, I have to clarify that. I don't want to be sitting in direct sunlight. Put me in the sun. Well, Julia says, if I was forced to run again. Number one, you can't force me to run. Even if a bear is chasing me, I still have the option just to lay down and be eaten by the bear. But, all right, if I'm forced to run, would I rather run in the scorching heat or in the rain? I think I'm going the heat. At least, like, if you get too hot, you start to hallucinate and you don't know that you're miserable anymore. You feel like you are in some kind of la-la land. That's cool. Whereas the rain, you don't even have the option of hallucinating. You just start to get horrible blisters and the chafing and no. I'll take scorching heat if I'm forced to run, but you cannot force me to run. Try me. I cannot think of anything in my life that could force me to run. Maybe I'll do a little jog if somebody's about to knock my beer off the bar or something. I'm like, oh, no. And then I'll, you know, jog 10 feet to catch it. But that's about it. I will say even bears. Yeah, I'll get eaten by a bear before I run anywhere. Zach says I take the rain to cool down. Yeah, I don't. I also definitely would not choose running in the cold. Zach says the heat can cause chafing too, though. No, the sweat from the heat could cause chafing, but that's still moisture that's caused. It's the moisture that causes it. Heat doesn't do anything, man. Heat's fine, and as long as you keep yourself powdered up and everything, you'll be fine. I don't wish for either one of them. I tell you, after the pig last year, and when we all finished and we sat down and we drank our free Mick Ultras in the heat, that beer tasted really good. I don't know that it would have been as good in the rain. I think it would have just tasted like rainy Mick Ultra. So I'll take the heat. Heat any day. I actually kind of like the heat. Not running. I don't like anything running, but I like the heat. I really want to finish this so I can get into this next one. Okay. It wasn't good. All right. Here's the one that I'm most excited about. Save the best for last. I hope. I wonder if this one's carbonated too. Josh says, drinking a Mick Ultra in the rain sounds like the most depressing scene ever. Sounds like a country song. This one does not seem as carbonated. It is carbonated, but not as carbonated. Actually, it might not be carbonated. Okay, we are heading in a good direction. Ooh, smells like tequila. That's a good sign. Let's see what it says. It's made with award-winning real spirits. That's cool. Enjoy responsibly. Pfft, no. Made with real tequila. It wants me to know that. It's gluten-free. Okay. That's actually a good sign. Margarita. Okay. The ingredients say it's a margarita made with cutwater, tequila, triple sec, and lime juice. That is a good sign. That's what you should put in a margarita. A summer classic, real tequila. Two sentences. All right, that's awesome. They really want me to know this is real tequila, featuring our award-winning tequila. bright notes of lime and triple sec. Enjoy with a salted rim and a lime wheel, or straight from our can. I didn't do either one. I just put it in a. I messed it all up. It's all right. They'll forgive me. What's inside? Cutwater tequila, triple sec, lime juice. It is 2+ shots. Perfect. This will go well. This will go great. That's kind of all it says. All right. This is Cutwater lime margarita. I've been woefully neglecting the drink cam tonight. All right. Let's see. It is, it's not bright green, which is a good sign. Your margarita probably shouldn't be that color. And it smells like tequila. I'm not getting a lot of lime. Not in a bad way, though. Like, all right, let's get in here. Let's see. Okay. Easily the best of the bunch. That being said, still not like, it doesn't compare to like a homemade proper margarita. It's better than your average Mexican restaurant. Definitely better than the, what was the Cayman Jacked. It's definitely better than that. I think you could say that I am a bit of an expert on canned margaritas. I don't know what that says about me as a person, but I've had a lot of them. And this is probably the best one that I've had. Now, does the Tip Top Cocktails, do they make a... they have to make a margarita, right? Let's look that up. Tip Top Cocktails. As far as canned cocktails that I've had, they are the best that I have found. Tip Top Cocktails. Tip Top Proper Cocktails is what they label themselves out as. All right, let's see. Shop Cocktails. Yes. I hate all the pop-ups. I hate it. And I know that some of that exists on my website as I say that. Do we have? There is. You got to be kidding me. There is no margarita? Oh, yep, there it is. A bestseller. Yep, you can get a Tip Top margarita right on their website. They're expensive-ish. You can get a 12-pack of these, and they're tiny cans, properly sized margarita. You can get a 12-pack for $65.99 on their website. It's worth it. It is 100% worth it. You can get a 4-pack for $25. Their cocktails are great. Marco says, I have some mezcal. I might have a pour. I might do that too. I might also just drink some liqueur de elote. I might also mix all these together, dump a bunch of tequila in it and some ice, and then bring it up to my wife and pretend that I made her a cocktail and see what she says. It would be fun. It would be a good video. I've been like struggling a lot lately trying to find time to make my own videos. I had this plan this year that I was going to make more tasting videos on YouTube, and I have a whole list of things to make tasting videos with, and the bar right now has has towels hanging on the bar stools. I don't know why towels are hanging on the bar stools, and has a bunch of, there's like, I don't know, 3 or 4 6-packs that need put in the fridge, which means I need to rotate the stuff that's in the fridge to the front and get that in the bag. And it's a pain in the butt, but it needs to go in there. And then just a bunch of dishes and just random stuff just sitting everywhere. So I can't record any videos until I get that done. It's a lot. I also need to, we have the sink in the laundry room is leaking, and I need to fix that. There's just lots of little things. It's fine. All right. Let's wrap this up unless anybody has something pressing that they think we should talk about, because we're a little over an hour or so. That's a show, in theory. Ooh. I should have just drank 3 of these. These are good. Yeah. It's going to be a long night. I have a theory, though. If you're recording a podcast on Cinco de Mayo from your basement, if you don't wake up in the morning with a hangover, you probably did something wrong. It's a working theory, I guess. I just made it up. But I think I'm gonna hit it. Should we do an after show tonight, or should we wait until next week to do an after show? You guys tell me. The gnomies that are out there, because after shows only exist for the gnomies. It's a special perk. Also, after shows only exist after the show. If you don't watch after the show, is gone, and you missed out. That's kind of the way it works. It is a live perk. Marco says, "Let's do it." What Marco says goes. So if you are a Nomi, and that goes for any of the Nomis, not just the paid Nomis, if you're a free Nomi, that's fine. We welcome you too. We'll do an after show after the show. All right. I'm like knocking into things now. I'm clearly there. This pile of cocktails did it. Thank you guys for hanging out. I appreciate all of you for making the Weekly Pint be a thing. And it will continue to be a thing. It'll keep kind of growing, keep evolving, keep hopefully at some point getting back to beer. I didn't even get to touch the one beer that I had. We'll get back there. We'll try to work in like real drinks at some point. This kind of fuels other things too. And this spurs other ideas that I have. So the show is important for lots of different reasons that may not always be as obvious as me just getting drunk on canned cocktails. So, thank you guys very much for supporting this and what I do. If you don't support and you want to, go to thegnarlygnome.com/support. You can sign up for free on there and get access to lots of exclusive things. I don't have an easy link for the Substack yet, but it's coming. And you can get access then. Go to Substack and just look for The Gnarly Gnome. And there's some cool stuff over there too. Lots of exclusive articles. Some other paid exclusive articles are coming too over there that'll give you things that don't necessarily appear on the blog, or things that don't appear on the blog right away. They'll be there later. You get it there first. And then the podcast, I think, I haven't tried it yet, but I think there's a way to embed the podcast on Substack, I think. So we'll do that, and you can get it all there. Drinking with the Gnome is on Substack right now and other places. It's very confusing. The point is, I appreciate you guys, and we will we'll be back next week. We'll do this again. Probably not this. We'll drink a beer next week. How about that? I'll see you guys. Thank you very much. I appreciate you. There it is. Substack.com/@thegnarlygnome. Look at that. It works. Cheers, everybody. Thank you. Guys, to know, I do this for you. I don't enjoy this. It's all for you. I kind of enjoy it. It's kind of fun.